Scripture. The Apostle Paul is attributed to the writing of 13 letters intended to guide the churches in how to be the church of Jesus Christ. Today's scripture comes from Paul's letter to the church in Philippi and his first letter to the church in Thessalonica. Both letters call the churches to be faithful in prayer. Hear now words from those letters. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. The inspired word of God for the people of God. You may be seated.
I was still teaching, and those were the glory days of teaching, and we could write curriculum and get extra money for that curriculum for our teaching. And I had decided that I was going to save my money to go on a trip to Europe with my mom and my sister. They'd been 5 years before, just the two of them, and I had really wanted to go. So I was saving for a trip to Europe. Our second child, Callie, was a baby at the time, and she was about a year and a half old. And we were planning to go the summer after I got done teaching. My sister was a teacher as well. In midwinter sometime, probably around this type of time, I know it was very wintry, we lived in northern Iowa. Before her first birthday, I had a dream. Well, actually, it was a nightmare. In my dream, there was this horrible man who handed me a bundle. This bundle was wrapped in a light blue and pink blanket, Callie's favorite blanket. This horrible man handed me my daughter and said, "I'm finished with her." Now, I knew what that meant. And adults, I know you know what that means too. I will not elaborate on what that means. He said, "I'm finished with her." Knowing what that meant, I was unhinged. In fact, it still unhinges me. I woke up crying, I woke up breathing hard, and every time I closed my eyes, I saw that horrible man holding my daughter. I saw the blanket, and I could not go to sleep. Every time I closed my eyes, it was there. And I lapsed back into that terrible dream. And I laid there in the dark, tears streaming down my face, worried about my little girl, frightened for her safety. And the only thing I could think to do in the dark of the night, because, you know, everything is worse in the dark of the night, was to pray. That maybe I can get some peace in prayer. And so I prayed. I prayed to God that our children would be safe. I prayed to God that I would never experience the nightmare that I had seen. And I prayed that I could fall back to sleep and stop seeing those horrible visions. I just kept praying and praying and praying. In our bedroom, this picture used to hang next to our bed in our bedroom. And in the dark of the bedroom, and it was dark, all of a sudden, there was a light in the light of the lighthouse. If you can see the picture, there is no light. But in the dark of the night, there was a light where there should be a light in the lighthouse. And it brightened up the room a little bit, and it gave me a sense of peace. I can't explain it. It was not there, and then it was there. And as I looked at that light, as I saw the light in that lighthouse, A sense of peace came over me, like I cannot explain. I was no longer fearful for my daughter. I was no longer fearful for my children. A sense of peace washed over me. What also came to me in that moment, when the light appeared in that and the peace came, was that I should not go to Europe. That was one of the things that came to me in the dark. Jenny, don't go to Europe. Instead, there was a voice in my head, in my most inner being, that said, instead of going to Europe, use that money to build a fence. You see, we lived on a quiet street in Mason City, but a block away was the north-south highway through Mason City, not far from our house. We were on a big corner lot. And the peace came over me in the realization that we needed to build a fence to protect our children. Callie was one and Andy was five. Once that was decided in the dark of the night, the light left the lighthouse, and I was able to fall asleep again. I was able to fall asleep with peace and without visions of that horrible dream and plans to build a fence. In the morning, I woke up and told Dale about the dream, still slightly unhinged by it, but I was able to go back to sleep. And I told Dale that the money that I'd saved for Europe, he needs to build a fence. He's a woodworker. I knew he could build a fence. And when spring came, he built a fence, and I did not go to Europe. In fact, I didn't go to Europe until June of 2016. That's how long it took me to get to Europe after this unhinged me. Oops. This is our house in Mason City. I was there a couple weeks ago for a funeral. The red you may recognize as Casey's. There's a Casey's across the street. And there is the fence that Dale built. A picket fence that went around three parts of our yard. There was a hedge on the other side and then the driveway on the other side. I told Dale, I need you to build a gate, and I need you never to oil the gate. That was the other thing that came in my dream is don't oil the gate. Make it squeaky, so if somebody tries to come in, we'll hear it, right? That was another thing that came over me in my dream. That fence brought both of us a lot of peace. Prayer is a powerful thing. It can bring a sense of peace like nothing else. That's why Paul wrote these words of encouragement to the church in Philippi. He said, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I cling to those words. If you've been to my office, you'll know that I cling to lighthouses pretty well, too. That's my representation of my faith with the Lord. That's what speaks to me the loudest from my God. And there are lighthouses all over my house, by the way, and in my office. Oops. I'm not sure if you know this about Paul and this letter to the church in Philippi, but Paul was in prison. Paul was a prisoner, and these are first century prisons. These are horrible prisons where the conditions are terrible. They don't have internet access like they do now, okay? It's not a nice place. Possibly his feet were stuck in wooden stocks so that he couldn't move around. He would get one meal a day, and that's only if somebody in the town would bring it to him. And likely Paul was beaten. Still, amid hardship, Paul wrote these words, rejoice in the Lord always. Paul wrote those words in horrible conditions in prison. Now, who among you could possibly write those words when you were in such situations, in those awful conditions? And yet, Paul found peace. Paul found peace in Christ that came in trusting and knowing that God would be there for him in that. Philippians is Paul's letter of joy, because in this letter he uses rejoice or joy 16 times, and it's only four chapters long. He is saying rejoice in all situations. Paul wrote about the peace and the joy that comes from a life that is focused on Jesus Christ. And Paul isn't talking about happiness. Paul is talking about things that are not dependent upon our circumstances, not dependent upon how good we have it or how bad we have it. Paul's talking about true joy in Jesus Christ. And the message that Paul is sharing for us is that our joy and our thankfulness is not dependent upon our circumstances. It's dependent upon our relationship with Jesus Christ. I couldn't have gotten through that night without my relationship with Jesus Christ. Oswald Chambers is a theologian, and he had this to say about prayer. The real purpose of prayer is for us to get a hold of God, not get a hold of the answer we are seeking. You hear that? Get a hold of God, not the answer that we're seeking. It's tough for us because we do lift up things in prayer, and we want an answer. But prayer isn't about the answer. Prayer is about the relationship with God. Chambers also had this to say. Whenever we insist that God give us an answer, then we are off track from the real purpose of prayer. We're called to get close to God. We're called to get a hold of God. In the dark of that night in my bedroom, when I had that horrible dream, all I could do was get a hold of God. It's all I had. I had nothing else. There was no way to get through what I was going through without getting a hold of God in there. We are instructed by Christ not to worry, but instead to use our energy in a way that turns our worries into prayer. And then we experience the peace which Paul says transcends all understanding. I hope you don't think that true peace is not having worry or conflict, because it can we have that regardless. And true peace is not good or happy feelings. That's not what peace, the peace that Paul talks about, the peace that comes from Jesus Christ. True peace comes in knowing that God has your back. That's where the peace comes from. And that God hears your prayer and sets about meeting your needs in God's way. When we get a hold of God, true peace comes when we pray often and in all situations. 1 Thessalonians 5 says that we should pray continually, that we should give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will. Now, Paul isn't saying that we go to our knees every single moment of every single day and we spend our days on our knees. But he is saying that we need to have a prayerful attitude, regardless of the situation that we're in, that we need to pray through our days. Think about it. What would happen to your peace at work if you prayed for your coworkers that challenge you, or the situations at work that challenge you? What would happen if you asked God into that conflict and asked God to sort of be in the midst of your day at work? Peace can result even if conflict continues. Students, what would it be like if when you sat down in your desk at school and you had a test, if you just said, "Hey, God, help me with my test," or "help me with this hard project," or "help me with this classmate who's not being very nice to me or to others"? Christ promises peace. What about in our family dynamics with our spouse, our children, our parents, other relatives who test our last nerve some days, right? They test our last nerve. There are people in our lives that do that. Try taking a breath and asking God's peace and wisdom to come into your midst. Some of you commute to work or travel a lot for work or like to go on vacations, travel. We have a lot of people traveling right now. What if you ask God into the car with you to help you on the slippery roads, to help you with busy traffic, to navigate through it? Peace can come to you in the car while you're driving. You don't have to close your eyes. You don't have to go to your knees. You just have to lift it up to God. You just need to get a hold of God in all situations. It might mean, I'm afraid, that you need to turn off your radio, because when the radio is on, you really can't hear God and focus in on God. When we watch the news, it's hard to watch the news some days. because there are issues in our nation and our world that need prayer, need wisdom for our leaders. Instead of getting angry when you watch the news, lift all that stuff up in prayer, and peace can sweep over you even as you're watching. That's really what Paul's talking about with this praying in all circumstances, this having a prayerful attitude, is to just go to God whenever you think about it, often through the day. When I was commuting from Mason City to Clear Lake when I was still teaching, more than 10 years ago, I drove past the Mason City Airport. And often there were commuter planes taking off at that time. Part of my prayer practice then was to pray for the people in that airplane that they would make it safely to their destination. I didn't know the people in the plane, but I lifted them up in prayer. Now where we live, we're on the helicopter route to the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics. And so I pray for those people in that helicopter. I pray that the doctors and nurses and everybody at the hospital can deal with that situation. And undoubtedly, there's probably family members driving in their cars, and I pray for them to make it safely and to be at peace. Whatever the circumstances that we encounter in our daily lives, we're called to pray, because true transformation for our lives happens when we draw closer to the Lord in prayer, happens when we get a hold of God, and peace can come over us. In times of trouble, it's easy to focus on the pain rather than on the ultimate goal. And yet, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to focus on Christ. And all things will kind of fall into place when we focus on Christ in prayer. My friends, God is faithful. God's strength is sufficient for any trial that comes our way. These are our opportunities to set aside our pride and learn to be dependent on God. That's a tough thing to do because some of us like to control our situations. I'm a kind of a control freak myself. And yet I know I need to give things up to God. Don't let pain or fatigue or heartache or disillusionment, criticism, force you to make a change that you do without going to God first. Let Christ's peace wash over you. We all have worries about home and family and health and loved ones. But in Philippians, Paul tells us to turn our worries to prayer. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. My friends, worry less, pray more. Because true peace comes when we surrender our hearts to the Lord in prayer. Here's a prayer of peace that I'd like us to pray together. Pray this with me. Peace go with you. God's quiet within the noise. God's hope within uncertainty. God's rest within the toil, God's presence within your soul. Peace go with you. Amen.